Today's Bible readings will start with Isaiah 3, 13 through 15, and then Isaiah 11, 1 through 9. The Lord takes his place in court. He rises to judge the people. The Lord enters into the judgment against the elders and leaders of his people. It is you who have ruined my vineyard. The plunder from the poor is in your houses. What do you mean by crushing my people and grinding the faces of the poor, declares the Lord Almighty. A shoot will come up from the stump of the Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of the wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness, he will judge the needy. With justice, he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness, the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And now from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 4. Here is my servant who I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law the islands will put their hope.
I'd like to invite the children up, please. Good morning, Emily. Good morning. Is that not a dog? It's an elephant. Wow. Good morning. Good morning. Now we got some more. We just have to wait. Everybody's coming. Come on up. Good morning. We have plenty of time. Good job. Good morning. Come on. We're so glad you're here. Good morning. Hi, Clint. Come on up. I feel like I've met you already. Good morning. It's so great to have you here. You know what? You're new, but I've heard so much wonderful things about you, so we're so glad to have you here. Yeah. Have you ever heard a story about a baby born in a manger? Yeah? Okay, I'm going to ask that again. I'm going to try to get a rousing yes. Have you ever heard the story about a baby born in the manger? All right, we're getting better, getting better. What is peace? If I said to you, tell me what peace is, what would you say?
Peace is... What is peace? I got a splinter on my foot.
Okay, and when did you find peace when you had that splinter in your foot? When it came out? Did it feel better when it came out? Oh, no, 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 no. Yes, it did. So when you had that splinter in your foot, it hurt and you were probably crying. And when the splinter came out, you felt better. You were at peace. You were relaxed. Emily, what is peace? If I said to you, tell me what peace is, what would you say?
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay, here's a... Good morning. I was wondering where you were. So what is not peace? If we don't know what peace is... What is not peace? And lucky for you, I have a story. And I was going to not use my family this morning, but thanks to my lovely daughter this morning and my wonderful husband, I'm going to tell you a story about what peace is not. They walk down the stairs, and I'm sitting on the couch, and my daughter says to my husband, hey, let's play a game of what not to wear. So they proceeded to explain why I should not wear what I have on to church today. Now, that's definitely not peace. There was a little bit of an uproar. So let's get this full circle. So today we talk about a baby being the Prince of Peace. Baby Jesus is the Prince of Peace. What does a baby Jesus have to do with peace? What?
He's a king.
He is a king. And just any old king or a really special king?
A really special king.
And he's so special because God loves us very much, but we had done some really terrible things. But God wanted to love us forever, so he sent his baby, his son Jesus, to be our Prince of Peace. And do you know what that means? That when Henry has a splinter in his foot and he's crying and it's crazy and he's in pain, and when your family hurts and disappoints you on Christmas Eve, it means that... Shh, that's terrible. Yeah, well, that's disappointing that you... Whoa, let's rally it in here. So here's my point. The point of the story is Jesus... Shh, I'm going to ask you to stop for 1 second, okay? Thank you. Jesus is our Prince of Peace, and that means no matter what happens in this world, God and Jesus promise us a place in heaven. But you know what? It doesn't stop there, because you know what we have to do? We have to share the peace. So when Henry had that splinter in his foot and he was probably screaming, Holland, did you go over and say, it's okay, Henry, it'll be better soon? Yep. You can share the love of Christ and peace every day when things go bad. But nobody made me feel better about my sweater. Let's pray. Shh, let's gonna pray, ready? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the birth of this baby. An unexpected king. Lord, we know that through your son, Jesus Christ, we are granted eternal life. Lord, help us to share that peace while we're here so that more may come to love and know you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
The next reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 21. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared, with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into the heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about his child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
I love Christmas. I love everything about Christmas. One of the newly discovered joys for me this year, having now 5-year-olds, is How the Grinch Stole Christmas, which, you know, I mean, I remember loving it growing up, but there's something special about hearing my kids sing the song and want to watch the movie. Do you all know the story of the Grinch, all the Whos down in Whoville, right? They love Christmas. They celebrate. They join in hands every Christmas morning, and they sing, and the Grinch hates the noise of the singing, and he hates the lights. He lives up on the mountain, and for 50 years, he's had to hear every Christmas them singing and giving presents, and he hates it. So he decides what he's going to do is he's going to go down, and he's going to ruin their Christmas. He's going to disrupt their sense of peace. And so he loads up his sleigh, dressed up as Santa Claus with his dog Max, and they head down the mountain in the middle of the night, and they steal all of the decorations and all the Christmas trees and all of the presents. And the Grinch, he even lies to poor little Cindy Lou who has woken up in the middle of the night for a glass of water. And he takes all of their stuff back up the mountain and then sits back and watches. He wants to hear them crying. He wants to hear the conflict. He wants to hear the fighting that's about to break out. But much to his Grinchy ears' surprise, he hears a different sound instead. The Whos, they still gather in the town square, and they still sing. And the Grinch decides that Christmas must not be all about the things that you buy in a store. It must not be all about the presents. It must not be about all the decorations. But instead, there must be a stronger message of peace at the core of that. And we're told on that day that the Grinch's heart grows three sizes, and he goes back down the mountain and gives everyone their stuff back and even sits down with one of the families and carves the roast beast himself. It's a great story. A great story about peace, about the love that comes with being around family and friends on Christmas. Of course, I'm not sure that we all remember the peace that comes with Christmas. You know, today is Christmas Eve, and oftentimes Christmas Eve is one of the busiest shopping days of the year. But we live in Bergen County. Well, most of us live in Bergen County anyway. And so the malls here in Bergen County are all closed today. Biggest shopping day of the year, which meant that yesterday was even worse. There was a story in the paper this morning, I don't know if you read it, about all of the parking garages being full and people leaving 2 hours before they had to be at work at the mall because it would take them that long to get in, and everyone doing their last-minute shopping and all the hectic chaos and everything. And that's what Christmas is all about, right? We hear in this story from Luke about the birth of Christ being told to the shepherds. They were told that this birth of this child was a sign of peace in the world. That the coming of this Christ child, this one named Jesus, would signal lasting peace for our world. The prophet Isaiah foretold this peace and also told us why it's so important that this child comes. Why it's so important that this peace comes into the world. Because, quite frankly, our world is anything but peaceful. God created all of this, created it all good, and then we as people do what we often do. We took it our own direction. We messed it up. Somehow deep within us, conflict is what we love the most. Sure, we talk about peace, but how many of us actually work for it? The shepherds, when they hear the message about this Prince of Peace that has been born, they went to see it for themselves. And having experienced that peace, you know what they did? They walked away from that place and told everyone they could possibly find about all that the angel had told them. And what was all the angel told them? Peace. That this child was going to bring about peace. And so the shepherds become sort of the first evangelists, going out into the world proclaiming the peace of God, proclaiming the peace of Christ. But I don't know if you've noticed, but boy, our world is anything but peaceful, isn't it? War continues to happen. Why is that? If Jesus is our peace, if the prophet foretold that he would be called Prince of Peace, then why is it that his coming to this world, the second person of the Trinity, God in flesh appearing. Why is it that we are not at peace yet? Whose responsibility is it to bring about peace? One of my favorite stories, you've probably heard it before, but that's okay, I'll tell it again, is of a man who was stuck in a flood. He's in his house, the waters keep rising, and he climbs the steps to his upstairs, and finally he gets out on the roof, and the waters continue to rise, and he knows he's in trouble. So he prays to God, and he says, God, rescue me, save me. Just about then, a canoe comes flying by. He's like, hey, come on, jump in the canoe, let's go. Guy says, oh, no, I just prayed. God is going to save me. Canoe goes on by. Pretty soon, a bigger boat, a power boat, comes by because the water is getting deep now. Someone, the pilot of the boat, says, come on down. Climb down. I mean, it's not that far to jump now. The water's almost risen all the way up here. Come on, I'll save you. I'll rescue you. No. I prayed to God. God is going to rescue me. Finally, the water started to rise up to his legs, his waist. Helicopter comes by, drops down a ladder, says, come on, climb the ladder. I'll rescue you. Guy waves him off. No, I prayed to God. God is going to rescue me. I have faith. Water continues to rise, to rise, to rise. And of course, no one else comes. The man drowns. He goes to heaven. He's at the pearly gates, right? St. Peter meets him there. Every good story has St. Peter in it. And he asks St. Peter, why didn't God rescue me? Why am I here? Why didn't God save me? Peter shakes his head and says, God sent you a canoe, powerboat, a helicopter, and you didn't take advantage of that. That's why you're here. People are instruments of peace. It's a famous prayer that begins, make me an instrument of your peace, O God. As those who are present at the birth of Jesus Christ, as those who are gathered here today to mark this very special holiday, this day where we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, who promised to be our peace. That peace lives in our hearts. But friends, if we expect our world to be at peace, it can't stay there. We are messengers, just like those shepherds were. Messengers going out into the world. The end of our service today, that's exactly what we're going to do in a very symbolic way. We'll take the light from the Christ candle and pass it amongst ourselves as those who are recipients of Christ's peace. And then in very tangible ways, we'll walk out of this place ready to proclaim that peace. Maybe first around our own family tables, where peace might be present, it might not be. Peace is not just the absence of conflict, by the way. Skirting around those difficult topics is not actually peace. It might make for peace, but it's not actually peace. Peace, as God is proclaiming it to us today, is overcoming injustice. Peace is about working hard to fight through the conflict, to find places of mutual peace. Peace is hard fought. It's hard work to proclaim the peace of Christ. But until Christ returns to fully bring about this peace that is promised, God has invited us to come along for the ride, to be those who proclaim peace to all of those we come into contact with. So let's practice this with one another. Let's practice this around our families so that when we go back to work on Tuesday, maybe, or for you teachers, maybe a couple of weeks after that, we have the opportunity to proclaim that peace to all that we come into contact with, so that the towns that we live in, the places we work, the places we go to school, the places where we play golf, whatever it is, wherever it might be, that peace follows us, the perfect peace of Christ, who is our Prince of Peace. Let us pray together. Most holy God, we thank you for the gift of peace in our lives. We pray, Lord, that as your Spirit visits us each day, that peace would become a part of who we are, and that we would have the courage to proclaim it to all of the world, and that when we see injustices, we would speak out against them. Lord, we pray for eyes to see and ears to hear where the world has fallen short of what you created it to be, and for the deep, deep honor and responsibility of proclaiming your peace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.